My name's Sean Collier. I'm here with Frankly Scarlet.
Oh, yeah.
You're allowed.
Hi, guys.
Jeez.
That did not start out a good, like, female power.
It did not.
Allowed to speak now, sir?
He gave really complex instructions
about being silent.
Other times.
Okay.
Look, the important thing is here. I'm here with
Abby's doing the X-Men theme.
She's trying to do the Wonder Woman.
Abby's trying to do the Wonder Woman theme because we saw Wonder Woman.
Woo!
And they're gonna tell you, and I'm going to agree, why it's great, as it should be.
Yes.
This week on You Can't Handle the Truth. This is what you were supposed to be.
What the fuck?
Figure all of this out. It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, June 2nd, 2017. My name's Sean Collier. Aaron Kleiber couldn't be with us tonight.
Chose not to.
Yeah. He was here, he saw the movie.
Yeah, he had to go home and entertain his wife.
Right. Yes. It's her birthday tomorrow. Mm-hmm. More power to him. Other than the fact that he saw the movie and then stood here talking about it. For about podcast length.
Yeah.
It's too hard not to talk about how great that movie is.
Can you just give us Aaron Kleiber's take on it, one of y'all?
I can tell you that the Justice League trailer looked like hot garbage.
Okay.
Yeah.
I literally heard him, like, grumbling during the trailer.
Well, we'll save that for later when we're tired of positivity. For the first time, the Frankly Scarlet triumvirate is appearing together on You Can't Handle the Truth.
That's right.
You remember Liz Labaz from just asserting her way onto the Fast and Furious 8
yes.
episode. You remember Abby Fudor most recently on the Guardians of the Galaxy
mm-hmm.
2.
Mm-hmm.
No spoilers, but similar themes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She was here with Mike Rubino, who is sitting quietly in the corner. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
What movie did you see tonight, Mike?
I saw Alien Covenant.
What'd you think?
Not bad.
All right, that's enough.
Cooties out of here.
Your listeners right now are like, what? That's why he's sitting quietly in the corner.
Right. We would have let him talk more, but he liked Alien.
As always, on You Can't Handle the Truth, there's some guy in a corner just saw an alien.
It's part of the ambiance.
It's usually Chris Prexta. He just swoops in from the ceiling. Hey, guys.
Let's talk about E.T.
And Robin Hitchcock is here, most recently of the episode where we kind of talked about Elle.
I think it was the Oscar recap
episode.
Oh,
it was the Oscar recap episode. No, or was it an Oscar preview episode?
Right, that's it. Oscar
right.
previews.
Which we didn't know what was coming.
No, we did not.
No, that could not have been predicted.
Nope.
And as discussed like a year ago, all appearing on the show to talk about Wonder Woman.
And it happened!
Bye! I'm good. Here they are.
Guys, this movie is so good.
It's
so
very good.
It's so good.
As it turns out, if you make a DC movie and you insert joy into it,
yes,
it's enjoyable.
And a female lead? I don't know. I do know.
In some of the more like big action-y moments, I like got emotional. Like I got like choked up.
Yeah,
and
me too.
Abby recalled we felt the same way during Ghostbusters last year.
It's just women don't get these kinds of movies, or we don't enough. There's never been a female lead comic book movie.
There have been a couple, but they've been really bad. Oh, there was
okay.
Catwoman.
Yeah.
Oh, and
okay.
Elektra.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
But I thought they said there's never been a... Was there some stat about that? Of like...
There was.
This is the first something?
Might be the
first
in the Marvel or DC universes. In the
that's
big...
That's certainly
right.
True.
In
oh.
the, big,
yeah.
the big franchises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because, like, Catwoman wasn't technically the DC Catwoman. Like, she's not in the Batman universe. She's a different Catwoman.
Right.
Really? See,
yes.
I didn't watch that.
Yeah. Totally different storyline.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
watch it.
Don't
no. save yourself that trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I...
Elektra was tied into the Daredevil universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun.
But that movie is best forgotten, I think. And I actually don't, like, that
and
movie's not terrible.
That was a hated female-led superhero movie spun off of a hated male-led superhero
that
movie.
That is true.
So it had a tough start.
But this movie, Wonder Woman, also
that's
spun
true.
Off
that's
of
true.
A hated superhero movie starring Ben Affleck.
Mm-hmm. Hey, how about
oh, wow.
that?
Yeah.
All right.
He's just, that's,
I like how
he's
you...
working from the shadows. He's like, this is my plan. I'll make a bad one, and then I'm helping the ladies out by comparison
Robin
to my shittiness.
Just, like, looked at Sean as the guy in the room, like, you're responsible for Ben Affleck. We
yeah.
claim Gal Gadot.
Gadot.
Oh, there is a T sound.
I believe when she introduced herself in the
oh,
trailer,
the screener,
she
yes.
said Gadot.
Yes.
There
is
and
a
I
hard
was like,
T.
thank you
yes.
for that.
But there was a moment about 12 minutes into the movie where I think it was when Hippolyta was having a conversation with her daughter, and I was like, there have been no men in this movie yet.
Yeah.
And it just is...
Oh, it was longer than that. It had to be pushing half an hour before.
I looked at my watch. It was 22 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
But, and it was, and, you know, the Bechdel test passed galore.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know, again, I don't, like, I didn't set out to harp on this, but I do just constantly think about how, for half of the population, that kind of moment is just not, is something that you've
not
always
remarkable.
Had. It's just not remarkable. It's
right.
like, you can watch so many movies.
There are
hours and hours without a woman.
Innumerable war movies.
Right.
Where there are no women.
Yeah. The fighting scenes, the fact that we're like battlefields of training and it was all women. It was just a very, very powerful thing to watch. And I get goosebumps thinking about, you know, young teenage girls that get to watch that or
mm-hmm.
even younger, depending on, I don't know. What do you think the age minimum?
It's a little like who?
Yeah.
I would probably wait until they're 8.
Yeah, at least.
There's almost nudity.
Right.
And I mean, I don't care.
Two hands does not count as nudity. That's,
I said almost.
No, I mean, but there's a give and take there, right? Because on the one hand, you do not necessarily want, like, your 6-year-old to see scenes of brutal gas attacks.
Right.
But you do really want your 6-year-old to see this at a very formative age.
Well,
so,
I think it'll be like anything else, where I know Mike always says there's tons of movies he watched when he was a kid that he wasn't supposed to. He just snuck around and watched them, like all kids.
Or movies
right.
that you were, I mean, I saw Batman when I was 6, at the Michael Keaton Batman, and I remember crying in the theater at Batman Returns because I was scared when Catwoman scratched some guy's face.
Oh, and little did you know that Danny DeVito was about to barf up oil later in his death scene.
So I'm okay.
Yeah, you are okay.
Yeah,
you're fine.
So if you have a young daughter and you want to take her to see Wonder Woman, I think that that's cool. You've got
yeah.
my non-parental stamp of approval.
Well, and my worry for years about this was, okay, this is going to be the first... How can we say this with deference to Elektra? The first important female-led superhero.
Right. Iconic?
Iconic.
The first big blockbuster? Or was that a blockbuster?
No.
Yeah. I mean, the first in the age of the cinematic universe.
Yes.
Right.
And the first that no one really had to go, who?
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was going to be the first one of those, and with DC's track record, I was like, oh god, they're going to ruin everything.
Right.
Because they have ruined some things already, and like even even Suicide Squad, which I'm in the tiny camp that was like, shut up, it was okay. It was good-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also
did not hate Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it either, but I would not... there's got to be a lot more ish on that good.
Okay.
Let's say
that's
watchable.
Fair. Yeah, okay.
Where I land with Suicide Squad.
The first half was fine.
I just
and
wish
then,
Jared Leto wasn't in it at
all.
Agreed.
I liked it.
Okay.
All right.
That's a separate podcast.
Okay.
This night is not about me.
Jared Leto.
So my question is, with this having the weight of that on it, I think I know the answer, but do you feel it lived
yes.
up to what was needed from this movie?
Yes.
Yeah. I think what is needed from this movie is to make money, and
right.
for movie studios to see that it can make money mm-hmm. and take risks, and...
Will men see it?
Right.
Right? They're the big movie... ticket buyers, right?
No, they're not.
They're not.
No,
which
they're not?
Like,
I thought men age 18 to...
It's 50-50.
Oh.
But there's this idea that men's movie dollars count more because I guess that they then buy the toys?
No, it's because... I think it's actually because, like, this is how Hollywood still thinks is, like, the man chooses the movie
oh.
that we go to mm-hmm. see.
Well, I think it's also the idea that women...
Meanwhile, has Hollywood met a couple in the last
No, they haven't.
They
That's
haven't.
The problem.
There's this idea in both movies and, like, fiction writing that women will connect with male protagonists and men will not connect with female protagonists.
It's not a universal story.
Right. And, you know, blah, 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 you can... state a million reasons. Women are more empathetic and they can blah, 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 blah. Or women are taught to have to be able to understand the male experience.
We live in the patriarchy. We're
right.
used to it.
Blah, 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 blah. Doesn't matter why. That is the
right
expectation.
Right.
I think it's becoming less and less true. I think there was a truth to it where it was like, oh, female main character, this is a chick flick.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is becoming less and less true. I think it never needed to be true.
And mm-hmm. you know what? You can't handle the truth.
See, why am I here? I'll pick up the recorder tomorrow.
That pause was way too dramatic.
It was.
Liz was like, are you all right?
Are
what are you
done? Are you okay? Do you need a soda or something? Did you get dehydrated and lose your voice?
Well, no, to jump ahead, I don't think anyone disagreed that this is not only the best movie of the... DC Extended Universe, that's
which is
the name.
Faint praise.
Right.
Yes.
But it's also, like, I
what's the second best good?
The second best in the Suicide Squad?
Oh.
It's
yeah.
only Man
Wait.
Of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, Suicide Squad, and Wonder Woman.
Oh, so I
oh.
guess you're right, and that's
yeah.
terrible.
Right.
Yeah.
That's very
well, that's
bad.
Very, that's a fairly small amount of movies.
Okay, but
it's
I would
three
say
bad movies and then this.
I would say it's better than any 2000s era DC movie except The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
I think this is a better I'm saying it's also better than Batman Begins and The Dark Knight Rises.
I would also
mm-hmm.
say
I
that
agree.
This movie is the tone that DC should have been shooting for the entire time.
With Man of Steel?
With Man of Steel, with Batman vs. Superman, if they wanted to, like, they were always looking to differentiate themselves from Marvel, right? Marvel is the goofy, lighthearted, happy fun times.
We've got Talking Raccoons!
Right, Talking Raccoons.
We got the hits of the 70s, everybody.
Howard the Duck has made
Multiple appearances.
They were always the other, right?
Right.
Marvel
right.
did a good job of establishing themselves as, like, we're not your grandpa's comic
yes.
book.
So DC was always looking to create something else.
Right.
And they went so far off the path.
They went Zack Snyder-verse.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this movie is...
It feels like...
smack dab in the middle of the bullseye, I think, of where they needed to be from the beginning.
They have this desire, I think, of, like, Marvel is light, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be heavy.
Right.
And we need... And in that heaviness, I think they were... What they probably wanted was, like, something that mattered.
Right.
Something deep.
Yeah.
Something important.
Yes.
And they went far
they
down...
made it unpleasant.
They went
so far past that into sad like, Superman fisherman.
I do not enjoy watching this movie about a space alien who comes to Earth and saves people. This seems sad.
Although it is,
you're just a 2-hour like Levi's commercial in Braddock,
right?
It is hilarious that those first 22, 23 minutes on name of mystical island,
Themyscira.
Thank you. Of course. Where were you, Abby?
The other two were. I said it with them.
Did you?
No.
Anyway.
Abby is our cool friend.
Right. That sequence, that chunk of the movie was light and brightly lit and fun and lively.
I love how much people talk about nobody knew how to do lighting.
Right.
Turn on the light.
You literally watch people. Is this a spoiler?
No.
The thing with the...
No.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
There's like a wall where people put their hand through and it goes like, dark fog.
It's like Dorothy walking out of the house.
I think that absolutely was. We're moving into a new movie.
It's like somber tones rode a boat full of dicks into the film. That's what happens in that moment.
Yes, that is true. I at least want to believe that they are that self-aware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think this movie does, like, it is weighty in a way that a lot of Marvel movies are not. And it is,
I mean, it deals
darker.
With, like, the nature of war.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But
it
evil
was still
lurks in the hearts of men.
Fun.
Definitely fun.
And in the way that a lot of war movies, right, focus on, like, hey, man, you know what? We had fun in the trenches. We found a way to bond and become brothers. This movie did that, too.
So, without drawing all the parallels, because that way lies spoilers, this reminded all of us of the first Captain America movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
The period setting and just also the tone of it. Yeah. Like, the people are good.
Yeah.
In the midst of horrible war.
There's
kind of
a
thing.
Generically handsome man named Chris who plays a character named Steve.
That's also true.
Did everyone see this SNL opening monologue?
No, I didn't.
Chris. With this one.
Oh, right.
Pine.
Chris Pine hosted, and it was, he did a musical, a surprise, I usually hate SNL opening monologue musical numbers, did a surprisingly good musical number about trying to teach the differences between Chris Pine, Chris Evans, Chris Pratt, and Chris Hemsworth.
That's cute. He's definitely the other.
He's the other in that group.
He's number four. Oh, yeah. He's fourth on that depth chart.
Sorry, guys. He's very charming in this movie.
Yes.
Have his eyebrows always been that intense?
I don't think I noticed his eyebrows.
Eyebrows are going Gallagher on us.
Oh, my.
You're getting to the good stuff with Frankly Scarlet now.
Yeah.
For anyone who listens to my podcast, Thronathon, I talk about eyebrows every episode. So.
Oh. I have not put that together.
I'll be on the Theronathon, guys.
That's true.
To talk about Kubo and the Two Strings, and I was going to rewatch it, and now I'll pay attention to the eyebrows because that's apparently
coming up.
What this podcast is about.
Animated eyebrows,
yes,
very exciting.
How do they draw them?
They molded them.
Okay,
we are
bring it back.
Caper dancing.
But
paper.
Another similarity to Captain America is the whole, I'm from another time and place. I'm trying on lady clothes.
Yeah.
You know, like the way Steve...
Well, that's the thing. That was the beautiful thing is that, yes, she left the Isle of rich color palettes and walked into DC World, but... And it was very much like, this is... Okay, yeah, we are still in the same universe that we were in those other movies, but we're actually going to make an effort to still be funny on occasion and still have, like, a genuine range of emotion.
She called it out. It's in the trailer. What is this? London. It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's not for everyone. Yeah. I feel like there were a lot of moments like that.
But I loved her watching Diana discover the world.
And
find delight in little things like ice cream and babies.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me so happy.
I like when she smelled her hat.
What ridiculousness do you put on women?
She's really, really great, by the way.
Okay, yes.
And
so let's
alarmingly beautiful.
Right.
Like,
yes.
Just...
take advantage of the fact that you've got all girls on your podcast. Let's objectify her for a while.
Her
what
face
is up with how pretty she is?
Shape is just spot on.
Her face parts are spot on.
Spot on is great, because that means... That's a description you used for something that someone worked on. Like...
Yeah,
God,
oh,
yeah.
No,
God worked on this,
yeah.
And he did good.
I'm an atheist, and I just said that.
There were truly so many times that I just felt like a sketchy dude, because I was just like,
wait, I'm sorry, I forgot to listen to what you were saying.
Your nostrils
are
just
formed by the hand.
Her eyebrows are so plump. They are very nicely arched.
I do appreciate when movies have very good-looking people in them, and it's not just Gal Gadot. It's other superhero movies, and they acknowledge, like, you are ludicrously good-looking.
Right.
Yes. Like,
well,
this is just silly.
And there was a, I think, really deliberate, like, history of female representation joke in there where he was like, you're standing out too much, put these glasses on.
Yes. Oh, that
yes.
was so, yeah,
and,
that was
and what's
totally.
Her name is like, yeah, she's still the most beautiful
yeah.
person in the world,
ever
but
seen.
Now she has glasses. Like, that seemed like a deliberate.
Absolutely.
Very deliberate, yeah.
And a little nod at Superman, I would say.
Right.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah. I was reading the meta text, not the, oh yeah, superhero fun
yeah.
line. In
her
that.
Cheeks are so full.
Oh my!
And her hair!
Do you need her hair?
But really, though, beyond that, get your minds out of the gutter.
Okay, I actually have a
she
question.
She does a great job.
Yes.
She's,
she does.
Did you like her in Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Boring?
I mean...
I thought she was the best part of it.
I really thought...
I heard a lot
I
of
really thought...
That.
I mean, I felt like when she arrived, it was like... Thank God a superhero showed up.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know?
Snap.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it really was. It was like, oh, something fun and delightful.
Well,
and
not
powerful.
Only that.
That part
and
where
exciting.
She, like, giggles during the fight, that was definitely one of the, like, few moments of interest and joy. But yeah. I remember when I saw that movie, because I had heard people say she's the best part of it.
Right.
I was like, oh, this isn't good enough. Like, I don't trust that there's going to be a good Wonder Woman movie on the basis of this. But there was.
I didn't trust there was going to be a good Wonder Woman movie until 90 minutes into the Wonder Woman movie. Because
okay.
the track record is so bad. But, I she, unlike Henry Cavill, who at this point, like, I feel bad for.
Yeah.
I hate
him so
much.
He does have tiny hands.
Like, he's...
I feel bad... for him because of how much you hate him?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I don't think he's a bad actor. He was
no.
good in Man from U.N.C.L.E. and probably in something else.
Nothing
but
that is wrong with him as Superman is his fault. It's
no.
everything with the script.
But it is not, I do not feel like I'm looking at a superhero. And
no.
and that's not always the case with Marvel. Like, I don't feel like I'm looking at a superhero when I see...
Jeremy Renner
or
Robert Downey Jr.
Like... That's kind of the way of the casting now. And Ben Affleck's Batman, I don't hate, but I don't feel like it's Batman.
Yeah.
I feel like it's somebody else. She showed up on the screen, and I was like, oh, she knows what a superhero is supposed to be and is being
yeah.
and is being given permission to
yes.
be that.
Right.
Which no one else is, and she's rising to the challenge.
Yeah. I've said, like, Ben Affleck's Batman is, to me, like, the Batman of Frank Miller plucked out of the wrong comic book and put in this movie.
Right.
Henry Cavill's Superman is just not Superman in any universe.
Yeah.
It's maybe Superman written by the guys who are currently writing Captain America and making him Hydra agent.
Mm.
Like, he's just wrong. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, you don't know anything about what makes Superman Superman.
Strong jawline.
And then Gal Gadot is... exactly everyone's idea of Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Well, I will say, maybe this is crazy, and just me, I the one thing is, it was interesting her being Israeli
mm-hmm.
and
yes.
having an accent, because I guess, I don't know, like, again, I don't know if this is short-sighted of me, but I think of Wonder Woman as being so iconically American.
Like, because she, like, her outfit is like an American flag, and Linda Carter is so classically like Americana 70s.
I so dug the weird Greek esque accents that they had going on.
Yeah, it just, but I mean, don't you, like, I that is different, totally, right? That is different as,
but
to
I love this.
To me, it would be like,
but I liked it.
If Gal Gadot's brother, whatever he looks and sounds like, played
Gil Gadot,
played Clark Kent and Superman. Sure. It would just be like, oh, okay.
Well, I mean, Clark Kent is raised in America, and Wonder Woman is raised in Themyscira, so, like, you know, pushing my glasses up, I'm like, this tracks in a way.
In a way that, I guess, the TV show got away from.
Right.
Moving...
What?
I'm just really happy that I got to watch a Wonder Woman movie, and it was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
Well, and tell me if I'm reading this too, like, hopefully, and giving them too much credit, but it was interesting that, like, not only was, obviously, she's the protagonist and the hero and gets all of the hero moments, but Chris Pine was very much like the plucky emotional support sidekick.
Yeah,
and it wasn't like, here's the man. It was like, no, here's the, like, love interest beefcake?
Yes. Yeah, I thought it was so...
He got to do some heroic stuff.
He got to do
he
some
did,
stuff.
He did, but I mean, but very early in the movie, you see him naked, not her.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I totally thought of that, of like,
that was
this was
very... purposeful.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like... I mean, I expect that in the blogosphere or Reddit or wherever terrible things go to die.
Boy places.
There is some expectation that this is going to be like a man-hating movie or whatever, which I don't think it is at all.
No.
But, like, absolutely she is the hero.
And he is kind of the emotion, like the scene in the boat where she's like, what are you doing? Do you want to sleep on a bed? And he's like, well, I don't know. What does this mean? What do you think? She's like, I don't know. It means I'm sleepy. Let's go to bed. I know what sex is. You put your dick in your vagina or something like that. I've read Cleopatra or whatever.
You know, Cleopatra's book, What Sex Is by Cleopatra.
I'm sorry. If Cleopatra wrote a book on sex, I would read it immediately.
You would get my $19.99 on Amazon.
Yes. And then you order it, and it would come in a carpet, and it would roll out.
It would. And an asp would come out and be like, here you go.
That would be some impressive animatronics. And frankly, would overshadow the book, I think.
Right.
Well, that I don't know. Cleopatra knows how to bang.
That's true.
So,
yeah. I loved that scene, though, just for... It broke all kinds of expectations, I think, of
And it was nice... this is so fucked up. I am about to seize upon a moment of representation in this movie that I don't usually see, where, like, the big... spoiler.
I'm going to talk around it.
That there's a big emotional moment initiated by Chris Pine that is, like, honest and forward about his emotions in a way that I don't usually see guys in superhero movies acting. It's like, you know, men in superhero movies and all mainstream movies are expected to, like, wait for the damsel to faint into their arms.
Right.
And like, that in this one, that he can be like, hey, here's how I feel, and it's important, was refreshing.
Often male superheroes are motivated by their female love interests' feelings.
Yeah.
That serves as their driving force, but it's not...
Yeah.
They don't, I don't know, initiate it.
Yeah.
Also, Chris Pine and Gal Gadot had genuine chemistry.
Yes, they did.
Yes.
Which was refreshing and exciting. And I think in the boat was really when I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is...
They're having a good time together.
Yeah.
And
it's not just that he's the only man she's ever met who didn't kill any of her friends.
That's true.
They just genuinely get along.
Yeah. What are the odds that the first man you ever saw will be the love of your life?
Hey, it's Hollywood. And it passes that, like, and I had a moment of, did this movie need a love interest? But then again, it's a big old Hollywood movie, and there's two ridiculously good-looking people. Like, sometimes it's like, just go ahead.
Yeah, I want her to have a love interest. In the same way that, you know, Batman gets, I don't know,
Katie Holmes into Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yes, various ladies to sit at the other Adams end of a long table.
Actually, the love interest was very important in this movie.
Yeah.
So, and it's important to stress, it's not important to stress, but I'm going to stress it anyway, that this is not just a triumph of representation and something different. It's a really effective superhero movie.
Yes.
Maybe a little long, maybe a little predictable when we get towards the end, but that's kind of just the way these go now.
I feel like my only big grievance with this movie is, and I hate saying this because I want to just be like unreservedly, it's perfect, but the action scenes over reliance on slow motion.
I loved that, though.
I mean, it gave us some of the big moments, but I think I could have used with about 10% less of it.
I'm leaving this theater tonight with a legitimate life goal to figure out how to slow motion roundhouse kick.
That's,
or some sort of slide into a kick.
That's a tall order.
No, it's not.
Please don't.
Just go train.
We're
so
full of dreams
right
now.
Exactly.
Sorry. I don't want
train
to.
With
I do not want to mansplain why slow motion is not possible in the real world, and so I will not.
But I agree. It is just. It is a good movie.
And honestly, with the predictability thing, like, it just becomes harder and harder to write a non-predictable,
there's nothing new under the sun.
Right, mainstream movie. Audiences have become so,
savvy?
Yes.
And like, I don't want the rug to be pulled out from me all the time. I want to see the beats that we know.
Right.
Yes.
If it was unpredictable, it would be at Sundance. It would not be here.
Right. And I think you end up, when you get writers who are trying too hard to be unpredictable, you end up with a lot of times really terrible movies.
Yeah.
Like Man of Steel.
Yes.
I also have to give a lot of credit. I did recognize the name. I looked it up. Patty Jenkins, the director. She directed Monster.
Yeah.
What?
And I was, because I watched, after I saw Monster, which was one of the best movies, I love that movie, and I watched some featurettes, and she seems to be a very thoughtful, talented director.
Anyone who brought good old Charlize
Oscar
is good in my book.
Monster is one of the only movies that when it ended, I didn't get up to leave the theater because I didn't see the point. It's like, well, what is out there anymore?
Right, exactly. I think that was. I think it was, I think that it is so smart when, I feel like we were sort of talking about this maybe with Guardians of the Galaxy, but I just think it's so, so smart for these producers of these, you know, popcorn, big blockbuster superhero movies to find artists to be involved, like a director like Patty Jenkins, who is clearly good at the emotional, human experience,
right.
Smaller, more delicate films, they can add that eye and that talent to this stuff. I just think it shows.
Because the bombast is going to be taken care
exactly.
of.
Exactly.
Yes.
You need the
A lot of these movies fail.
Yeah.
You do, though. You know, like, I still remember an article I read that was sort of like, character arcs and characters are not negotiable. As soon as you start doing away with that, your film is doomed to fail.
If your main talent as a director is spectacle, like, you're going to be replaced by a computer.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, go back to theater school, my film director friends, because you need to learn how to direct a human being.
Yep.
And analyze this. So, there are four credited...
Did you say analyze this?
Yes.
Okay,
you know, that movie.
Right.
there are there are three credited writers. Zack Snyder and a guy named Jason Fuchs are credited as story writers. Mm. But a guy named Alan Heinberg is credited as a story writer and wrote the screenplay, is the only screenplay
credit.
Right,
he got a written by credit.
And he is exclusively a writer of hour-long TV series before this.
Huh. Interesting. What? Peak TV, guys.
24 episodes of The Catch, which I do not know. He is the creator of that show.
I keep hearing buzz about The Catch.
One scandal.
I'm sponsored by The Catch. Yeah. The Catch.
One scandal, one Looking, 7 Grey's Anatomies, 10 OCs, 1 Gilmore Girls.
Oh, he's a Shonda Rhimes alum.
And the OC?
Yeah.
We should have known this all along.
4 Sex and the Cities, and 35 credited episodes of Party of Five.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
It all makes sense now.
Does it? Like, that's what I want to know. Having not watched Party of Five.
So those are a lot of TV shows that women
Party
love.
Party of Five was a long time ago.
Yeah.
This guy has...
So, A, he's got a long track record.
Right.
B, shows that are notable for having female audiences. I also don't know what The Catch is.
I literally don't know what The Catch is,
but there's a lot of good buzz about The Catch.
I do keep hearing buzz about The Catch. Mm-hmm. I'm not
sponsored
by The Catch.
Please stop saying that phrase. It's very weird.
The Catch.
You mean buzz about The Catch? That phrase.
But I think
we're just reflecting on the buzz about The Catch.
About a thing. So when you said he's mostly a TV writer, I thought, oh, like I said, peak TV, like this like new thing where it's like TV is the new movies. But all of those peak TV shows, most of them, are about important men having important dark struggles, and I'm a drug dealer now, okay? Whereas this guy writes women's TV. He writes pre-peak TV, like, emotional stories about people.
Right.
There's an essay here that I'm trying to write as we live podcast, and I'm not quite there.
No, but like, Shonda Rhimes is very famous for being sort of a maestro of telling women's stories. And he has clearly written several arcs under her tutelage.
What was it, Grey's Anatomy? Oh, and Scandal.
I hope he wrote the episode of The OC where Marissa shoots Trey.
I hope so, too.
Because that's some slow motion.
With the song?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's the only thing I know about The OC is that scene, because it's so great.
I'm just imagining, like, a weird scene in Wonder Woman where, like she makes out with, like, a male nurse. And, like,
in an elevator, and then they drink a lot of red wine.
Like, what's happening?
What's going on here?
But hey, that Justice League trailer, though.
It looks,
like,
real bad.
It's
hot
interesting.
Garbage.
It's interesting how we all saw that movie. It was real good. And yet, we're still like, well, the next one's totally going to suck because DC. Right.
So that's the next DC movie coming out.
Wait, before we move on to garbage.
Yeah.
I do want to say, I love Robin Wright, no longer Penn's, transformation into, like, the baddest bitch that has ever been.
Agree. That, like, was real good.
Yeah.
I also love her little face piece that gives her armor contouring.
Yes. Like, she, like, she became Claire Underwood, and I was like, oh my god, you're a badass. And now she's fucking Amazon
scarred
general
up.
With scars.
General.
She
yes.
made a Wonder Woman who she is.
Oh, so good.
If nothing else,
guys,
you have to see this movie to see Baby Wonder Woman.
Baby Wonder Woman is the cutest thing in the world. Step aside, Baby Groot.
Yeah.
And nods as well to Lucy Davis, who was fantastic.
Yes.
Dawn from the original Office.
Yes.
And I would also mention Danny Houston, probably just doing his normal Danny Houston thing.
The German guy?
Yeah, General Eric Ludendorff.
Is he always that character?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
he's
it's always
X-Men,
good.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know, was there anyone
he's
else?
He's in
you
one
would...
of the X-Men.
Is
as
it?
That
I
character.
I thought he kind of looked
guy.
Like a weird Dan Aykroyd.
I can see it.
Yeah, did you see that?
Like Dan Aykroyd beady eyes.
I thought the lady with the faceplate did
I
some great
she was
eye
cool
acting.
Too. Yeah,
yeah, I
loved
her.
She actually reminded me a little bit of Winona Ryder through her eye acting.
Played by Spanish actress Elena Anaya, who has been in few English language movies, but they include The Infiltrator and Van Helsing. But you may have seen her in The Skin I Live In or Talk to Her or... other Spanish movies that made it over here. But she was quite good.
Huh.
Yeah.
Good eye acting.
Yeah. Shout out to Gal Gadot's chin. It's just beautiful. Every piece of her face.
I'm just going to slowly shout out to every piece of her body.
And
that elbow.
Please, but not in an objectifying way.
No, I mean, I'll objectify. I'm sure the hell
she has
her.
A rockin' body. I just could not get over how perfect her face is. This is very beautiful.
Do you want to say anything about how in this very, very woke movie, there's an Indian that everyone calls Chief? Do we want to get into that at all, or just let that one sit?
I found that crew bizarre.
There's a sidekick crew that's an Irish guy, a Native American, and a somewhere in the Mediterranean.
I think he's Algerian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because he was speaking French a lot.
Yeah.
So anytime there's like a World War I or World War II crew like that, I'm like, okay, so this is like a Hogan's Heroes Great Escape situation.
Yeah.
I assume that those are characters in some comic book somewhere.
That's what I was saying. And
that's the vibe that I guess when I saw the first Captain America, I'm like, oh, the guy with the hat, he must be a comic book
character.
Did
anyone else feel, though, that like, I just felt like there was a weightiness to them that didn't make sense or pan out? Like, it just felt like it was like, hey, that's my friend, Liz Labaz. You know her? She's got a story. Anyway, goodbye forever, character.
Hold on, at the end of the show, you're going to introduce the whole room like that. But
you know what I'm saying? Like, it just felt like there was this, like, he's a sniper with a past. and he wants to have a singing career. I was like, this is unnecessary.
I liked the Algerian guy, Sammy. Who's a con man, yes. And then he has his motivation is that he loves acting. That's so beautiful.
I think they were trying to give their a shorthand of why not Steve Rogers can just like call upon them to go do this ridiculous thing.
Yeah.
Like they have all this history.
Yeah, it worked enough.
The other
I don't know, there was something unfinished about that storyline.
That's also why I was like,
in a movie that felt tight,
this must be
in so many other ways.
To some Wonder Woman super nerd out there is like, oh, thank God they included Chief.
Right, that was sort of what I was thinking, and I also guess in a way that I'm like, there was so much movie, and I guess I love character, so I would never want to sacrifice that, but at the same time, I'm like, that might have been the 20 minutes too long of the movie.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like, well, we gotta get in the goof squad.
The other thing that bothered me a little bit is that, so one thing that, to their credit, they have black women on Themyscira.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Pretty much none of them speak, except for baby Diana's teacher, who,
there's a couple of lines here and there.
Yeah, but it would have been nice if they could have had more significant roles.
Yes.
But
I
mean, look, if this movie were made 3 years ago, even, it would have all been white ladies.
Yes, you know, it felt like a little like mini Guardian of the Galaxy crew. And it felt like maybe they thought that they needed that. I actually thought that more than anything, it was supposed to be like comic relief.
Well, I thought that
crew.
They did a. I really liked Sammy.
Okay.
I got some laughs out of him.
Mm-hmm.
The Irish Scottish singing guy didn't really land for me.
No.
Yeah.
And honestly, I couldn't tell you the first thing about
Chief
other than that he's Native American and that his character is named Chief.
He seemed to exist to, like, cast doubt in one line.
Oh.
Which I guess I won't spoil, but, like, he has one line about, you know, about America. And I think that seemed like his whole purpose
in
the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked Sammy, too, by the way. It's like, I like a lot of characters. I don't think they need to be in this movie.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean? Like, I felt like there was something, it just felt a little bit like third act. We need to add more stuff. It's not even third act. I don't know.
I would say that was second act.
Second act. It was when they're like transitioning into time to go to war.
Right.
Let's introduce some new characters so it's not just her and
Steve. I guess that's right. Yeah.
Trevor?
Sure.
Steve Trevor? Steve Travis.
I would have enjoyed.
So another.
I would have.
Steve, first name.
Right.
Steve Trodger.
Come on, writers! I would have enjoyed one fleshed out good extra character, like the secretary.
More from Lucy Davis.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Rather than, here's five new people.
Yeah.
You don't really get to know any of
them.
That's all. That's my critique.
Now, Mike and I will ruin everything by talking about Twin Peaks Minutia for the next 90 minutes.
No!
My understanding of what the Green Ring is has been refined. No, we're not going to do that. instead, but no, really, Justice League.
Doesn't look good, huh?
I mean,
Aquaman, what's his deal?
He talks to fish.
I really he does?
Yeah.
What are you so upset about that?
Because he's been a punchline for 50 years, and now everyone's like, oh, they're bringing back Aquaman. Why do I care? He's a fish man.
Why are you so upset?
I think that they cast Jason Momoa.
Who's that?
Who is that? People keep saying his name like, oh yeah, you know Jason Momoa. No, I don't.
Okay, well, first of all.
Game of Thrones?
No, I watch films and Twin Peaks.
Okay!
Mike, get him a glass of milk.
Right,
1986.
I know.
It's peak TV, as we've discussed.
The television renaissance.
I love TV.
Did you just call him 1986? You just used a derogatory year.
That was the last time that film was more relevant than television.
Listen here, era of ALF. We don't need I watch lots of TV. I do not watch Game of Thrones, but explain why Jason Momoa is.
So basically, he is gigantic and sexy.
He played a very significant role
as hell
early on in the show,
where he was gigantic and
sexy as hell,
rapey but sexy.
Yes.
And because he is a Pacific Islander, it's extra exciting that he's playing Aquaman, because they are maybe going to make this character actually interesting in a non-lame way.
I
don't trust that.
All of that is great. If true, it probably won't be true, but even assuming, okay, all of that is great, but so you couldn't get The Rock, huh?
No, they could not.
Yeah.
He's really busy.
He is really busy.
You think The Rock should have been Aquaman?
If that's what they were going for?
Right.
Oh, I see. I am looking forward to seeing...
How would
he
be a rock? He'd sink.
Just let that one sit.
Yep.
As
like a rock?
As long as we can.
I don't think a rock makes a very good Aquaman.
I mean, like, look. as much as I don't like the tone that Batman versus Superman and Man of Garbage have set, The Rock would be
hot garbage.
The Rock would be dramatically out of tone for Justice League.
Yeah,
okay, that's true.
What
right,
would
that's
he
true.
Be doing
Although,
there?
I guess
what
they had Will Smith in Suicide Squad.
But not...
Yeah,
not,
but he gruffed up.
Yeah.
And he had proved that he could gruff up in, like, Happiness or whatever.
And this is post... This is Will Smith after The Fall. This is Will Smith after there is no true Will Smith left on the planet.
Right.
We miss you.
I love that phrase as like a you're in trouble, like you are out of tone.
But
young lady.
So is it just
you're out of toner, which is just a copy of emergency.
So are we just assuming that, okay, Justice League is still going to be bad? It at best it might be as good as Suicide Squad was, like You like forced this in the right direction, but didn't quite get there.
I think it could be better than Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
I have some hope for Aquaman's element. I agree. Like,
and Wonder Woman
Miller's
will
really
be a big part of it.
And there may be little to no Superman.
Right.
And that's
going to be a really hinging factor for me. Is like, does Superman? I mean, like, clearly he's going to come back.
Was he in the trailer?
No. But there was a vibration of dirt. Yes, that
look
is correct.
Did you see Batman vs. Superman?
No, she didn't.
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember
not.
Which one.
So, anyway, here's the thing. Also, Joss Whedon is semi-directing it now.
Right.
It's
but like,
so late,
so like,
though. I mean, that's like...
Also, he's made
final,
really bad
final,
movies.
Final cut. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
He, you know, and it's a weird thing because Joss Whedon is involved because Zack Snyder's...
Kid died.
And stepped away from the project, and it's hey nerds, it's a little gross that lots of people are going like, oh thank God,
I'm sorry,
that Joss Whedon isn't. No, that's. But the other thing to understand is, that movie is out in
November.
6 months.
Yeah,
like these last 7 months are not critical. Like,
no,
oh,
no,
it's
no,
a
no.
Joss Whedon movie now.
No,
he's just you know. Charging across the finish line.
Yes.
That's
he might be able to tighten some things up.
I mean, he was a script doctor.
Right. Like,
yes.
To me, the foundation of almost all movie problems usually comes from the script. I think there are obviously other places that movies go awry, but like, you know, Man of Steel, everything starts with the bad script.
Yeah.
The fisherman part.
Yeah, come on. but like, I think it could be around Suicide Squad quality.
Yeah.
I still think
it could be much worse. I
think it's going to be better, but in 6 months I may eat those words.
Right. Like I don't think it's going to be as good as Wonder Woman.
I agree.
I also don't think it's going to be as bad as Batman and Superman or Man of Steel. And where it lands in the middle remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Well, do you think it'll end up having been like, okay, you now, and the thing is, like, obviously Wonder Woman cannot influence Justice League. They were basically being made simultaneously.
Right.
So, that a year from now it'll be like, okay, Wonder Woman was great, Justice League was okay, but no Wonder Woman, and Warner Brothers DC finally figures out, like, okay, we gotta start doing things like Wonder Woman.
Best case scenario.
And Sorry, Zack, go away. Like,
I mean, Sorry, Zack will still give you a percentage of the grosses from Into Perpetuity. You'll be rich and not have to do any work.
Do you buy that argument that the problem isn't him, it's the studio, and that, like, 17-hour version of Batman versus Superman that was his cut is probably way better?
I definitely do not think so.
I'm not going to sit down and watch it to find out. Like, people have told me, like, it's much better. I'm like, I'm glad you did that research
for me. I think I did watch it, and it is better?
So I was actually rewatching the Wonder Woman parts of this yesterday, and or a couple days ago, and I was fast-forwarding through parts, and I was like, I have no memory of this. Is this the extended version? No, I had just repressed everything.
Right.
That movie's so bad.
It's very bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, everybody come back for Justice League.
But in the meantime, go see Wonder Woman. Go see it now. Give this movie some money.
Yes.
It deserves it.
Go see it as early as you can so that the first weekend grosses are huge. See it more than once.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Love life.
buy toys.
Buy some pop vinyls. There's a line just for this movie.
Oh, hell. I know what's going to be on my desk at work.
Yeah.
Let's rate it. We keep forgetting to do that.
Oh, right.
What's the
scale? On a scale of 1 to 10. 10 is... I'm talking just to Robin now.
Thank you.
10 you would only give to, like, 4 or 5 movies a year.
Okay.
And 1 is about the same. It's a bell curve in between.
Got it.
You know, most movies will be between a 4 and a 6.
Right. Would you put Man of Steel at a 1?
I disavow any... I basically act like I didn't see Man of Steel because I think I gave it an unusually high rating at the time.
Okay.
Like, just trying to force myself to like it.
Okay.
And then didn't go back. So
I have some vague concern that I'm going to wake up tomorrow and not like Wonder Woman anymore. That I'm, like, under the, like, joyful, like, feminism spell.
Yeah. I mean, I often watch movies and like them so much in the, like, post-watching it.
Yeah.
That's the point of this podcast.
Right. And then,
that's
like,
why we do it
then,
right after.
Right.
So that's the number
about
you give
it
now.
A little bit of,
yeah,
like, oh, that was flawed or blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Well, no, I mean, if there's a philosophy behind this podcast, and I hope there isn't, it's that that's how most people do it. Most people have this reaction right now and then move on with their lives and don't go, actually, that was a 7 4 days later.
Right.
So just give it the number that your glow has you existing in right
now.
Am
I allowed to use decimals?
Sure.
Okay, I am going to give this movie an 8.4.
I'd give it a 9.
I'd give it an 8.
I would give it a 9. Because it's really, really good and really, really...
Yeah, like, I'm confident
stands,
about my 9. If I was going to give 4 or 5 movies a year a 10, I would almost say 10.
Yeah, I guess, okay.
Like, I thought you were going to say was 4 or 5 movies in
your life.
No, because...
But I would say that this is... But I guess I was thinking, like, Fury Road was a 10.
Yes.
And
yes,
so this is maybe a 9, because I thought there was... But I will also say, like, I have always loved, like, origin stories and, like, combined with, it's like usually the same movie of like origin story and like now I'm a fish out of water kind of like, mm-hmm. I love movies like that. So
well, and I
my
think,
bread and butter.
And I think the importance of the movie is to be taken into account.
Exactly. Like I it's like you said, it's, yeah. You know, it's a great movie without, even without the idea of how important it is.
Yeah.
And that importance is significantly felt by me. And I think that if it hadn't been for Lady Ghostbusters, yeah. I probably would have cried more during this movie. Yeah. I think I would have been like weeping
bawling
with joy and happiness. Because I cried at Ghostbusters and that was not necessarily appropriate, but it just was like, this is nice. I'm glad the world is changing a little bit.
No, and that's, Robin and I have this talk a lot on Facebook Messenger, where I'm like, Robin, I'm allowed to vote for Moonlight instead of La La Land because Moonlight is way more important, even though my heart jumped more at La La Land, right?
Yes.
And Robin says, yes, you are. And I go, okay, thank you. And move on.
Movies have a context, and that matters.
Right. Okay. Now, Abby, please give the In a Bar Room in 1920s... London introduction to the people sitting around you. Mike inclusive.
Wait, can we quickly pitch the fact that we're Frankly Scarlet and that
we have
a show coming up at the end of this month?
Go ahead. I'll probably do the same thing. Explain who the hell you are.
We're Frankly Scarlet. We're an all-female comedy troupe. We do improv and sketch comedy. Sometimes we do both of those things in one show. Sometimes we split them up.
We've got an improv show called Frankly Scarlet All Made Up coming to you at the Arcade Comedy Theater on
June 30th.
Friday, June 30th at
8 o'clock. It's Friday, June 30th at 8 o'clock. That's my, she's our manager.
And Saturday, July 29th at 8 p.m. as well.
Yes.
So, it'll be us, some female improviser guests.
We have it'll be an all-female cast, and we will definitely be using the money we make at these shows toward our very extravagant sketch budget, because we love costumes and
wigs
and we're writing a Wonder Woman sketch.
And we are hoping to have a... definitely our next big sketch show will coincide with the grand opening of the new Arcade Comedy Theater space. I'm one of the founding creative directors of Arcade Comedy Theater, and we are moving to a new space in downtown Pittsburgh. We are Pittsburgh's only nonprofit theater dedicated all to the art of comedy, and you can see Robin and Liz on various teams and projects there. ArcadeComedyTheater.com.
Hashtag arcade upgrade.
Hashtag. Woo.
Anybody else have anything they'd like to plug?
You should listen to my podcast, The Ronathon.
Yeah.
It's about Charlize Theron, and it's similar to this, but about Charlize Theron movies, specifically.
Anything?
I'm good.
Hey, you know how I'm always plugging shows that are relevant to no one because it's in the middle of, hey, I'm doing a show in a tree fort in Venango County. This is the rare month where my gigs are in the city of Pittsburgh.
Ooh, nice.
Saturday night, I'm doing a show in Bakery Square where Google is at 8 p.m., followed by Blue Light at Arcade Comedy Theater at 10 p.m. on Saturday the 17th. I'll be part of a drinking partner show at Pittsburgh Playwrights Theater, also downtown Pittsburgh. And then, once again, I would like to remind you that on the 23rd, it's the DVE Comedy Festival. The main stage stars Colin Quinn at the Byam, but then the late show at Club Cafe with a great lineup of local comics and some special guests. Get your tickets now at clubcafelive.com. And then, the night after... I think I can talk about this now. I think this is official. Is a DVE edition of the Stand Up Get Down at Arcade Comedy Theater. Team Me versus Team Bill Crawford.
Ah, that's so exciting!
Featuring other frequent DVE guests. That's the 24th at Arcade Comedy Theater. Now, Abby, do that bit.
Okay. That's my
louder. Do
that's
it louder.
My, oh, sorry. That's my friend Sean Collier. You see how he's mangled up milk dud wrappers and things like that, it's because of something that happened to him a long time ago that you'll never find out, and who cares? This is my friend Robin Hitchcock.
Still louder.
She... Really? I never get that note ever. This is my friend Robin Hitchcock. She has glasses because a wolf ate her eyeballs. But it allowed her to fight in the wild for... I'm sorry, I gotta go over here now and never talk about it again. And that's I did Liz.
I don't think I got a backstory, though.
Oh, okay.
That's the whole idea.
There's Liz Labaz. See that bag in the corner? She carries everything she owns with her everywhere she goes because her house was eaten by a wolf.
Was it Robin? Was the wolf Robin?
No, her eyes are
not.
Oh,
I'm sorry. No, but she said that she turned feral after. Okay, keep going.
And there's little Mikey Rabino. He hasn't talked in 22 years, but he's got the sharpest knife cutting skills. If you need vegetables chopped, he can do it for you.
Wait, knife skills or knife cutting skills? Does he make the knives?
I don't have time to talk about this. I have to go.
Who are you?
I have to go deal with the A plot of this lounge now. All right.
The A plot of this lounge?